Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida, earned a BS in finance from Florida State University. From 1993 to 2018, he held a series of ever-increasing leadership roles at Regions Financial Corporation, and from 2020 to 2021, he was Chief Revenue Officer of Alerus Financial. Since 2022, he's been the President and CEO of DFCU Financial, which is a state-chartered credit union headquartered in Dearborn, and is one of Michigan's largest credit unions. His name, Ryan Goldberg. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to the CEO of DFCU Financial, Dearborn Federal Credit Union Financial, Ryan Goldberg. Ryan, welcome.
Jack, it's great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation to be here.
You've hosted shows on JR.
I have. I've been invited a few times to fill in for our friend Paul W. Smith through our partnership with the Detroit Economic Club. DFC Financial is the radio sponsor for those on-site broadcasts, and I've had the pleasure of hosting a couple of them in the last 12 months or so.
Okay, let's go back to St. Petersburg, Florida. Your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Yeah, grew up in Florida, where I spent most of my life and career up until 2013. Dad was a business executive, had his own companies, also worked as CEO for some publicly traded companies as well. My mom worked in retail, so had various leadership roles in department stores, picked up a strong work ethic from both of them. They helped guide me in the pursuit of businesses and leadership roles. St. Pete still has a number of my friends there. We get together regularly. Not too long ago, we had a significant high school reunion. We celebrated our 35th high school reunion. Have a lot of friends that are still there running companies and all kinds of different professional practices and so forth. So it's great to be back there, especially now that DFCU Financial has expanded in Florida.
My mom and dad moved from the south side of Chicago to St. Pete in 1981. So many of us go down to St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa. Paint us a picture of St. Pete in the 70s and 80s.
It was a city that I would describe as closely knit. When I think back to growing up in that area, friendships that developed in kind of a local area. We went to elementary school together, middle school, high school. We played on the same sports teams, whether that was soccer, baseball, golf. And it was something that was very family oriented. You know, my friends all lived within a 10 or 15 minute bicycle ride away from each other. And that's really how so many of these long-standing relationships started and are honestly maintained today. People that I met, you know, when I was 5-6 years old, I'm still friends with today. Over time, it's certainly grown, but that's what I remember most about it. Lots of friends and I used to go to spring training in that area. The Cardinals were there at the time. The New York Mets were there at the time. So I think back on it with fond recollection.
The Yankees are right downtown Tampa.
They are.
Boston Red Sox. And our own Detroit Tigers, Lakeland, Florida. Many of them. Yeah. Okay. We're talking to Ryan Goldberg. Ryan, where did you get your love for finance and business?
So it started with my first job. So I worked at a local drugstore, had an opportunity to work in the cash office, supporting the cashiers, supporting the inventory control processes. Always had just an affinity for things in the finance world. As I started moving through college, I was introduced to a family friend of mine, of my father's, and he led a community bank in that area. And he was a mentor for me. I ended up with a summer job at SunTrust, which is now Truist during college, and enjoyed that and pursued that through my time at Florida State. And ultimately, when I graduated, I joined a management training program in a financial institution. And that's how this career got started.
You went to Florida State in its football heyday.
I did.
And you had a legendary football coach, Bobby Bowden.
That's right.
One story about Bobby Bowden.
Well, it was actually after he retired. So 5 of the years that I was with Regions Bank, I was leading 2 of our lines of business in Birmingham, Alabama. And he has a history from his coaching career at Samford. And there was an event that was hosted. Bobby Bowden was the guest speaker. He was actually representing his football movie that was put out about life, football, faith. And I had an opportunity to meet him. That was the first time I ever had a chance to meet Bobby Bowden. And he was just as gracious as you could expect. Couldn't have been more friendly with myself or my wife Reagan, and we really enjoyed, you know, getting to know him. And one thing that I think I'll remember about that was, in a room full of people, when he's talking to you, he makes you feel like you're the only person that was in the audience.
We're talking to Ryan Goldberg. When we come back, we're going to ask him about his quarter of a century chapter with a little bank named Regions Bank. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul. We're with Ryan Goldberg, CEO, President, DFCU Financial. All right, 1993. You joined this little bank by the name of Regions Bank. I think they have a statue of you. You were there for 25 years. You put the place on the map. Talk about that glorious chapter.
So it was my first job out of college, and they were recruiting on campus at Florida State. And the interesting thing about that is, of all the opportunities that I had, I ended up taking the job that paid the least. And a couple reasons as to why, and I think that's ultimately helped shape me from an ongoing leadership perspective. So one is the way that they recruited me, the level of engagement, the interest in me as an individual, that really spoke volumes to me about what's the type of company I want to be a part of. What type of culture do I want to work in on a daily basis, and where do I think I can grow? So really happy with that move. Gave me an opportunity to return back to my hometown. That's where the management training program was held. So it was really a win-win just to get out of the gate and in what was a tough job environment at that point in time, to land a role that was a foundation for, as you mentioned, the next 25 years of my career.
From 2004 to 13, you were the president of Southwest Florida. Then from 2013 to 2018, executive VP, head of priority banking and branch small business. Talk about those last couple chapters.
Sure. So when I was leading the geography in Fort Myers and Naples, which consisted of our Southwest Florida territory, some very interesting things were encountered. One was a significant boom in the economy in that particular time frame, but also followed with one of the more challenging economic situations that the country faced, because the Great Recession was also during my tenure there. And I think, you know, you learn a lot as a professional, not when things are going well, but when you have challenges. And Southwest Florida, from a housing market perspective, was characterized in a lot of ways as ground zero. And I think in a very, very short period of time, I learned a lot about, you know, how do you lead a financial institution? How do you support customers? How do you provide levels of coaching and different types of insights for employees when times are challenging. And that led to an opportunity for me to move to our corporate headquarters in Birmingham. So what they were excited about from my background was my role in leading these two branch segments, which Priority Banking was our mass affluent segment of clients and also our branch small business clients, was having the connection to the field. So being in a leadership role in the geography, I was able to bring those experiences to our corporate office, which was designed to help strategy development, marketing, product development, to make sure that we were doing everything we possibly could to give our bankers a chance to be successful, and then ultimately put things in the hands of the customers that differentiated us from a value proposition.
All right, it's 2018. The sunshine in Florida every day, your whole life. And then there's this Hammond family that had created something called Flagstar Bank here in Troy. They hire you, executive VP, head of retail banking. How did they ever convince you to move from...
Yeah, it's interesting, Jack. So a consultant by the name of Nick Miller with Clarity Advantage was somebody who I had built a relationship with while I was at Regents. And he was doing work for Flagstar. And he told me that they needed somebody to come in and head up retail banking and the ancillary business lines that were connected to that. Things like business banking, investments and insurance, consumer lending, our indirect offerings to RV and boat dealers. And Flagstar was at an inflection point because they were in the process of making acquisitions. They had just announced right before I joined the biggest acquisition in their history when they bought over 50 branches from Wells Fargo. So the excitement of doing something new, to be able to lead a retail bank, to take the experiences that I had developed at Regions and apply those to Flagstar, it was just quite honestly something that was exciting to me. And I wanted to take that leap and round out my career, to be honest.
So you discover snow, all right? But you're not satisfied. So from 2020 to 2021, you go to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Now that's cold. Okay, that's cold. A few years ago, they had the Super Bowl there.
They did.
I flew up, got off the plane. It was 6 below, not wind chill, temperature. Why did you move to St. Paul?
Yeah, that was a...
Everybody's moving from here down to Florida. You're going the opposite way.
Yeah. Well, traffic was a little lighter, the directions that I've been going. That's for sure. But Alaris Financial created an opportunity to be their first chief revenue officer in the history of the organization. And that was a role that was going to lead not only banking, but the retirement services business, mortgage, and wealth management. And again, it was all about continuing to round out my experience. I've always had a desire to lead a company as a chief executive. And this was, I thought, a perfect opportunity to not only build on the large regional bank experience that I had at Regions, the mid-sized regional opportunity, but Alaris was a company that was more of a community-based organization. And I think all of those stops from a career standpoint helped position me for where we are today to lead DFCU Financial.
All right. You mentioned that you were going north when all of the U-Hauls were going south. Well, normally... In the banking business, you go from small to large.
Yep.
We're talking to Ryan Goldberg. Ryan, you went from Regions, huge, to Flagstar, big regional, and then this little Auroras. So once again, counter. What was the advantage of being from huge to regional to small?
What the organizations liked about my experience was the broad nature of it. And based on what they were trying to accomplish strategically, bringing some of those experiences and attributes to different sized organizations and being able to leverage those for things that they wanted to accomplish. That's what both Flagstar and Alaris found interesting about my background and why we ultimately ended up working together.
We're talking to Ryan Goldberg in 2022. He joins this local credit union DFCU, Dearborn Federal Credit Union Financial. When we come back, we're going to ask them why and how. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul, with Ryan Goldberg, CEO, President, DFCU Financial. 2022, you join it. At the top, President, CEO, Chief Dishwasher. Okay. How and why?
So DFCU Financial was going through a transition period at the time. So my predecessor was retiring after leading the company for 22 years. And they were in the process of looking at how do we expand the organization to be multi-state. Florida was the specific target. And when they were looking for a successor, what they were very focused on was somebody who had a commercial banking background, which my predecessor did. He had a history at Comerica. That matched up very, very well with my experience having been in publicly traded banks my entire career. And having a Florida experience that was quite honestly extensive in the markets that potentially DFCU Financial was going to expand into. I also had a previous relationship with the CFO, who was currently leading the finance function at DFCU Financial. We had worked together at Flagstar, so he had been the CFO for several years. So that gave me some great insights into what that company was like, what they would need in their next leader. And it just became a natural fit. An outside recruiting firm that was running the search to find the replacement. I knew the principal of that organization. So a number of things just came together in terms of background, experience, what they were looking for in a candidate profile, some relationships that with people that were influential in the selection process. And it came together very, very nicely. And to your point, Jack, next month will be 4 years since I started with the company in the CEO role.
We're talking to Ryan Goldberg. If you want to learn more, www.dfcufinancial.com. Okay, Ryan, let's go back 76 years. February 1950. The humble beginnings of DFCU, please.
So it started with a small group of Ford engineers that pooled a few dollars together and started the credit union. And to your point, we've been celebrating our 75th anniversary, which just concluded at the end of December. And it's really been remarkable. It's been a company that has grown from just a very small footprint in the Dearborn area to four areas of operation in Michigan, not only the core Detroit area, but Grand Rapids, Lansing, and Ann Arbor. And then over the last 4 years, our expansion into Florida. So roughly 20% of our assets are now in the state of Florida. We've done three bank acquisitions in that market. We have a significant presence in the Tampa Bay area, the Orlando market, as well as Southwest Florida. So really can attribute the success to us being focused on the members. We have one of the leading member dividend programs that are out there. We share our success with the members. That's one of the beauties of being a credit union, is we don't have shareholders. So the benefits can be shared with the members when we have financial success. And we've had a history of doing that. We've been paying a significant part of our profits out to the membership every year for the last 20 years. And this year we just crossed the $500 million mark. So when you think of where the company started, now that it's grown to be one of the top 50 credit unions in the country out of roughly 4,500 that operate, it's a testament to the employees that have worked so hard, the loyalty of the members, and every day us being focused on how can we be a financial institution that makes a difference for the consumers and businesses that trust us with their financial future.
Forbes Best in State Credit Union back in 2024 said, for the sixth time, you were the best in Michigan. Tall cotton. All right. You mentioned members. You don't have customers, you have members.
So the credit union structure is a unique model. So it's structured as a financial cooperative model, which means that we don't have shareholders in this particular organization. It's a member-owned entity. And that's the difference in a traditional client or customer relationship and one that has a member-owner type of approach, which, again, we run the company in such a way that we try to drive a balanced level of success so that we can reward the members for their loyalty with these dividend payments that I referenced. So we run the organization as if we are holding ourselves accountable like we would if we were a stock company, where investors are expecting some type of payout for the investment that they've made in the company. We view the members, because they are the owners of the company, as those investors. And we hold ourselves accountable to making sure that we run the company in a way that allows us to pay back a significant part of our earnings to these individuals. And we do that, you know, every January and have for the last two decades.
You joined DFCU 4 years ago as president and CEO. Paint for us a picture of DFCU Financial in 2022.
So we were just in the process of announcing our first bank acquisition in Florida. When I came in, that was something that I had to get my arms around very, very quickly. I worked with my predecessor to make sure that the transition was going to be very, very smooth. And then we followed that path through the closing process, which was regulatory approval, and doing everything that we can to close the deal, integrate it, and make it successful for the employees and the customers that were coming from that other institution. Fortunately, DFCU, under my predecessor's leadership, had always been one of the top performing credit unions. So it was my aim to make sure that any decisions that we made going forward, any strategies that we developed, kept a consistent model of what does a successful operation look like. And that was my objective, coming in, making sure that the things that were in place, such as this merger transaction, were going to be effectively handled. But then also any new CEO has to come in, understand the organization, has to get to know the people, has to build a level of credibility, trust, respect with the people that are going to be his constituents as we go forward.
We're talking to Ryan Goldberg, www.dfcufinancial.com. When you joined, DFCU had $6 billion in assets, 232,000 members, 27 branches, Metro Detroit, Ann Arbor, Grand Rapids, Lansing. All right, every entity has a culture. It emanates from the person at the top. Mm. What's the culture, and how do you propagate the culture throughout?
The way I would characterize the culture is collaborative in nature. I think my philosophy really is around how do we get the most out of all the people within the organization. And I believe that you do that by understanding that people have certain levels of expertise, they have certain levels of experience, but the sum of the parts is always better when you are leveraging the thoughts of multiple people. So we strive to tackle business issues as a team. We focus on how do we achieve more, how do we improve, but we do that in a positive way. Nothing that is a finger pointing or a blame type of approach. It's always under the guise of, look, something may not have gone the way that we had hoped, but let's figure out how we can improve and how we can make a difference going forward. And those are some of the guiding principles that I really strive to instill in the company. The other thing that we do is we look and we believe that all of our decisions revolve around four key stakeholder groups. So we have to make decisions that are in the best interest of the members, the community, the employees, and the financial organization itself. And if we can make those decisions and we look at the concept of how many of these stakeholders do we benefit by a certain decision, then I think that's something that has to stay very, very visible in our whole process.
We're talking to Ryan Goldberg. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the breadth of services that DFCU Financial provides. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're with Ryan Goldberg, DFCU Financial. Ryan, the breadth of your services.
So the history of the company was really built on what I would call consumer services. So things like auto loans and deposit accounts and residential mortgages, home equity loans. So that's the core foundation of the credit union. And about two decades ago, we started a wealth management business. So that gives us an opportunity to help people with their investment needs. And it could be as simple as a grandparent wants to set up a college account for a grandchild and wants to contribute a few hundred dollars a month, all the way up to seven, eight-figure types of investments for business owners who may have sold their company, somebody who's gotten a significant inheritance. So that wealth management business has been developing over the last 20-plus years. And then the acquisitions that we've done has really opened up a commercial banking expertise for us. So when you think about what the commercial business at DFCU Financial looked like, about 3-plus years ago, it was a $35 million loan portfolio. So we really were not doing much in the commercial banking space. So we had, when I joined the company, we had, I think, 6 employees in commercial banking. We now have 100 employees in commercial banking. The loan portfolio is $1.2 billion. That's come from the 3 bank acquisitions that we've done in Florida, hiring a great team up in Michigan who's been growing that market organically. So I view us now as a holistic, full-service financial institution that we can meet the needs of consumers, we can meet the needs of any business or commercial customer out there, and those people that have the desire for wealth management services, advice, guidance, and investment options, we can meet those needs as well. So it's a great position that the company is in. We feel like we can meet the needs of 95% of the population that's out there. And we do that through constant product development, looking at things that make a difference and add value to members, and having those things delivered by a really strong, well-trained, member-focused set of employees.
We're with Ryan Goldberg, DFCU Financial. Citrus Bank 2022. Then Midwest One's Florida branches, most recently Winter Park National Bank. All right, M&A, the acquisition. You write a big check to the lawyers, a big check to the accountants. You sign documents, 6 inches high. That's the easy part. Ryan, then you've got to bring these two disparate families together. Sometimes the Hatfields and the McCoys. Okay, Gator fans, Seminole fans. That's the much harder thing to do. How do you bring two disparate families together?
So it first starts with the cultural assessment on the front end, because the most important point of finding out whether there's compatibility is the working relationship that you're going to have with the CEO and the team. So before we get into anything about how the products and services fit together, what the financial situation looks like, and involving investment bankers and, you know, other other advisors, you really have to assess between the two companies, what's their vision look like? How do they think the employee base should be treated? What's your approach to clients and members? And you have to make certain that you feel like the two groups are going to see the future the same way. So you really have to get into the people and the culture first. If you align those things and you feel like you've got a coordinated effort between the two leadership groups, the rest of it can fall into place. I think where you end up with some challenges that you have to work through, and I think we've been very conscious about trying to do this, is just because you're the bigger entity and you're acquiring another smaller financial services organization doesn't mean that everything that the parent or the legacy company is doing is the best way to do it. And I think we have to be, you know, very, very open-minded to changing at the top of the company for things that, quite honestly, are being done better with some of the organizations that you are bringing into the fold. And sometimes that's not the easiest thing for companies to do, but we've made a very concerted effort to not say it's DFCU or it's Winter Park in our most recent example, but what is the best way to do it? And sometimes it's the Winter Park way, sometimes it's the DFCU way, or sometimes it's a third way that we've learned. So I think we have to be open to change. We have to check egos at the door, and we have to focus on what's in the best interest of making the transaction successful. I always say, Jack, that, you know, you don't buy anything when you purchase a financial services organization. No employee has to stay. No customer has to stay. You may get a few fixed assets, a few buildings, a few computers, but you're really buying an option. You're buying an option to show each and every day that the customers are better off with you and the employees are better off with you. And that's something that you have to understand as a leader, that ensuring that you're creating that environment where retention of employees and customers is very, very high, that's what truly success is. And when you are taking care of the employees, they feel good about the new organization, well, that becomes very evident to the customer base. And all these financial institutions, they're about people. The name on the building is irrelevant to the vast majority of customers. What they care about are the individuals who manage their banking relationship, who they've built a relationship with in the past, who are there to help them with growth expectations, building a more successful financial future, and or helping them with a resolution to an issue. So you have to be very, very thoughtful as you go into these transactions about the sequencing. And if you do the right thing for the employees, ultimately, they're going to do the right thing for customers. You're going to have a successful transaction, but you have to work those in a proper sequence.
DFCU Financial, 250,000 members throughout Michigan, now Florida, Tampa, Orlando, Naples, 40 branches, now an $8 billion entity. All right, a couple of segments ago, you mentioned annual profit sharing component. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you've now doled out $500 million in the last 20 years? Mm-hmm. Are you crazy?
Well, our members don't think we are, because they're the beneficiary of that.
How do I get some of that money?
Jack, we will set you up and take very, very good care of you. This is something that we started thinking through in terms of how can we have a shared value component? So as I mentioned earlier, we don't have investors. So we don't have investors that are expecting dividends or payouts from the credit union. But because of the model that we have, the members are our owners. And One of the things that we felt very strongly about is we could run a successful organization. We could continue to invest in the company, whether that's new branches, new products, new technology. We could expand the footprint through M&A transactions, adding staff. But we could also devote a significant amount of capital back to the members who are ultimately the drivers of our success. So it's one of these approaches that I would say is a diversified method of how do we further advance what we're trying to accomplish as an organization. And the member dividends are something that honestly makes a difference to so many people. It drives higher levels of retention. It drives new business acquisition. And I bet every year, once we distribute that, we get letters from people, and the minimum is $25 per relationship for an eligible banking transaction, all the way up to a maximum of $10,000 per entity. And sometimes we get letters from people who benefited. Maybe it was a couple hundred dollars, and they'll send a letter into the company that says, you know, we really appreciate the dividend. This made a difference in our lives because we were able to have a better Christmas for our grandkids, or we were able to repair an appliance at the home that wasn't working, and we didn't have to put that repair on our credit card. We were able to pay cash for that. So we see a whole litany of people. About 2/3 of the members generally are eligible for a dividend based on the relationship that they have with the organization. And it's something that, you know, we take a lot of pride in. It drives how we run the company so that at the end of any given year, we feel like we can further invest to keep the company relevant and growing, but also say thank you and have that sharing of success with the members.
You've recently announced that the dividend for 2025 was $22.2 million. Ryan Goldberg, you're a modern-day servant leader, inspiring a lot of people, helping a lot of families. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you very much.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.